I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
They think they got the answers. I change the questions.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
And welcome to the Crimson Canvas Podcast. I'm your host, Evan Showman, joined by my man, Dion Harrison, the Legend Killer. And over there, we got our other man, Dan Rose. Got a lot to talk about this week. We're going to have a good guest on the show. We got King Mo on. Mo's going to talk to us a lot about wrestling. Pro wrestling, that is. Yeah, just because he's a world-class wrestler, don't mean we talk about regular amateur wrestling. We talk about pro wrestling. The state of it, what Mo would do different, all kinds of good stuff. Mo's awesome. But, you know, as we usually do it, we got a lot of things to cover. We got UFC that happened this weekend. We had WWE that I think I'm going to just let you two talk about because I am just fast-forwarding every show right now. And then, of course, the People versus O.J. Simpson. Dion, I could talk a little Walking Dead. Well, I think we should start off with Dan. I retired last week from basketball. I told you this, right?
You did.
I retired from the league. Guess what happened last night? I get the text from Dion. We need you.
Nuh-uh.
You have to call the fucking... The
old you can't
man.
Call him out of retirement.
The old veteran. The grizzly vet.
The grizzled vet.
Yeah.
Coming off the bench.
Yeah, doing what he does.
Smelling like icy hot.
He's in retirement. What if he was on vacation, like up in Vancouver?
You son of a bitch.
Now, Dion, well, now you know how to say Vancouver.
Yeah, Vancouver.
On this show.
Vancouver.
You know what I said? I said to my wife, I go, you know what this motherfucker he said, Vancouver? She goes, "He's." I don't know what that even means. But I was like,
damn,
that's racist.
Damn, Lori, she did that to
she's
man.
Like, you said Vancouver. Like,
man, it happens to the best of us. No, it does.
It's not that you just slipped up and said Vancouver. It's that you thought it was actually Vancouver.
I ain't from Canada, Dan.
Neither am I, bro, but
you live
I know it ain't
Canada.
Vancouver.
Vancouver. It sounds like an
sounds
80s rock
like
band.
Sounds like a fucking cool
That's
city.
Why I keep saying Vancouver Mellencamp.
Vancouver Mellencamp. All
I
right.
love that camp.
And by the way, let's.
You what? Did you say I love that camp?
Yeah.
Say I love that.
Do you know who John Cougar Mellencamp
no!
is? No. Oh my God.
Who's that?
See, this is the thing.
It's not my fault. I'm young.
No, I'm just saying. Like, Dan's a white guy. You're a black guy. Like, this is just the stereotypes that we have on this show. Like, a black dude that doesn't know who John Cougar Mellencamp is. I buy it.
And I don't know who Rick James is.
You don't know who Rick James is?
Of course I know who Rick James is.
Rick James was on the People versus O.J. Simpson last night.
Exactly right. It was a timely reference.
Yeah. And that guy says, hey, Marcia Clark. He goes, when did she become Rick James? Like, she fled to get a haircut and look phenomenal, and she came back with the worst hairdo of all time. All
right, we can't go all crazy on People versus O.J. We got to start with MMA. Because if we start with the haircut, it's going to be nothing but 45 minutes of the People versus O.J. Simpson.
Because it might be the best show.
It was the best episode last night.
Yeah. It was the best episode ever.
Shit was intense. I can't believe you can say on TV, even though I say it all the time.
Oh, Ashley Bailey?
What are you editing yourself for? You say it to me every week on this show.
Yeah, I wanted to keep it, you know.
Because Ashley Bailey, you know why? Because that's Timon. Okay. Hakuna Matata.
I was going to say from Lion King?
Yeah. Timon putting the ER at the end of that word. Just
came out strong.
That's Timon? I didn't know that.
Now you know.
How did you not know that?
I know it's Nathan Lane, but I just never made the connection that Nathan Lane was Timon.
Yeah, or Pumbaa. Whichever one.
Hakuna Matata.
Hawaiian dress, not the pig.
Oh, that was Timon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Timon dropped the N-bomb last night on the People versus O.J. Simpson.
Bigger.
I ain't gonna never look at him anymore.
What did you just say, Dan?
Dan said it.
I said, no, I didn't. I said, with vigor.
Oh, because he cut out.
Because
he cut out right before. Did you hear that? He was. I heard this.
That's my F. Lee Bailey impersonation.
I heard this igger, and I'm like,
oh!
I'm like, Dan!
Dan Rose.
Dan!
No, I would never. I've never said that word in the last 10 years.
That's a dirty
ever.
Word.
This is a dirty
word. You know what else is a dirty word, Dan?
What?
Fucking wrestling. Can't say wrestling anymore. Vince wouldn't like that. Sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment.
Yep.
And you can't say wrestlers. You got to say sports entertainers.
Yep.
Or superstars.
Or superstars.
There's nothing super about the Wyatt family.
There's nothing super.
Fuck you, Evan.
I'm saying hey, you couldn't.
Guys, I'm stopping this madness. UFC 196. Let's go.
Oh.
What happened to wrestling?
We're not doing wrestling.
You got to get to the big story. Conor McGregor.
We got
to
talk about Conor McGregor. Well, why don't we ask our MMA analyst, Dion?
Hi, psych.
Because Dion watched his first fight this week like a big boy. He came over here
put my big boy pants on and everything, Dan.
Yeah, he had a beer.
Yeah, like a man.
I can't begin to tell you how proud I am.
Like a
like
man.
Beavis and Butthead, you're like, I got a beer.
Yeah. You want one?
So, by the way, that card was pretty... it was awful.
The last two fights were fucking amazing. The rest of the card, pretty much blue ghost.
Holly Holm and Miesha Tate ended amazing.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
Was good.
The second round was really exciting, too, I thought. Don't try to, like, dissect it, dude. It was an amazing come-from-behind win. Just let it go.
But before we start, Dan, who picked Miesha Tate to win from the show?
You picked Miesha Tate to win.
Who picked Nate Diaz?
You picked Nate Diaz.
Yeah, okay. Why, Evan?
Have I ever been shy about giving you credit for that stuff?
Well, why, Evan? I'll tell you why. Thank you for asking. Because let's first talk about the Holly Holm fight. Holly Holm.
Holly Holm.
Dion Holly Holm.
Holly Holm.
Holly Holm, by the way, lost second round 10-8. If Miesha Tate had won the third round, it would have been a draw. On all scorecards, they all had a 10-8 that second round. So if Miesha had won that third round, it would have been a draw. People would have lost their damn mind. Because Holly Holm pretty much ran... She outpointed her. She's a point fighter. You know, you can't do what those point fighters is chase them, like Ronda did. That you can't do that. But I said, like, Holly Holm's been wildly underwhelming, right? And she put on the performance of a lifetime, and Ronda made that really easy for her by chasing her. That being said, did I think that Miesha Tate was going to choke her out with 1 minute left in the fight? No. But she did. And now we're going to have Tate versus Rousey 3.
But that counter was like how she
did
went
she
to flip her.
Yeah.
She held on.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Miesha Tate wasn't letting go.
No, Miesha Tate was on that.
She was kicking ass the whole fight.
Yeah, man. I mean, again, Holly Holm's a point fighter. Kick here, jab there, out pointing, you retain your belt. But Miesha Tate gets your back. This is what happened.
Yep.
And
I was impressed with Holly Holm in the second round because Miesha had her in a shit ton of trouble and had her back and everything, and Holly could have quit in the second round. I went back and watched it again with like 45 seconds left, man. That she had the arm under the chin, and Holly Holm could have quit. Nobody would have, you know, blamed her, but she fought the arm off and fought the arm off and fought the arm off and was able to survive the round, and I give her credit for that. I mean, she is a point fighter. That's a fact. She comes from a Floyd Mayweather style of boxing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I actually said that on Saturday.
But it's effective. And
he just ignored you. Whatever.
No,
shut up, Dion, you know about wrestling.
Oh, dude, I didn't. Dion, you know I got you, bud. I got you.
Hey, if he's laughing, you just ignore me.
But, yeah, I thought that it was... I was impressed by what Holly did, and then, of course, in the fifth round, I was... really impressed with Miesha being able to find the choke like she did, and I was very excited. It's like I told you picked both fights, but I wanted them both to win. I wanted Miesha to win, and I wanted Nate to win. I just didn't think they would. So I was very, very happy with both results.
You know, I thought Nate Diaz was going
to win. I did not. I when you watch that first round, Nate Diaz got just pieced up, and that's how I thought the fight was. I thought that.
Anyway, like I said, Conor McGregor had trouble with Max Holloway. He has trouble with guys with range. Make no mistake, Conor McGregor won that first round handily.
He lit him up.
And second round, got him a couple of times. Once Deion was here, I was just getting into his, like, once he started throwing his hands up, like, what, motherfucker? Like that?
Yeah.
I was like, this is it. Like, and I'm like, do it, Nate. You know who I sounded like? Bobby the Brain Heenan. When Goldberg was taking on Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And he's like, do it! Do it! That was what I was doing in this house. And that's no lie.
Man, Nate's a tough dude. He's a tough dude.
Oh, man, Nate is tough.
You know what's frightening is he's not even the better Diaz brother.
Yeah, he's not the best Diaz, that's for sure.
He might be the toughest, though.
He's not the toughest either.
He's not the toughest.
But, man, if you face his... has all that blood on it, and you just look like a badass. I mean,
I know you're new to the MMA thing, and you're a new MMA analyst. But research a little Nick Diaz first.
Man, research this ass flipping, Dan.
What, you're gonna whip my ass? Is that what I'm supposed to be worried about?
That's right.
Okay, I'll start worrying about that now.
Aww, I like coffee.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, Nick Diaz is the tougher Diaz for sure. But what do you think, man? Didn't take Dana long to come out and say that Ronda Rousey was next for Misha Tate, but what do you think's next for Nate Diaz?
I mean, they're saying that Lawler and him make sense. Whatever, man. I don't give a shit. It's like the fights end and people are suddenly, what's going to happen next? Who gets the next title shot? Like, man, who the fuck cares? Like, wait 2 minutes. Let them figure it out, you know? Like, it just changed the scope of things. Like, Conor's got to go back down to 145. They're not going to give him an immediate title shot at 55 against Dos Anjos. That wouldn't make any sense after losing. Also, quick side rant here. People really need to lay off Conor McGregor. Look, no one wanted to watch him get smashed more than me. I wanted him to get his ass whipped because of his mouth and because of, you know, how he sells fights. I understand why he does it and how he does it. I just don't want to hear about money all the time. Fight's over. That's the end of it. They shake hands, blah, blah, blah. And people are like his jiu-jitsu sucks. He has no ground game. Some dude from USA Today wrote he was a good fighter. He was never a great fighter. And I'm like, yo, I'm fucking serious. Like,
turned on him so quick.
Turned on him fast. Now, I understand the Irish, you know, staying off the internet for a couple of days because that was probably a rough one for them. Because, you know, some people are like, Conor McGregor, kill you, cub. And, you know, and that's the end of it. Like, they just kind of put themselves in the middle of all these conversations. Maybe we should get back to work today. Like, let's not talk shit for a couple of days.
It's been bad for the Irish the last couple of months. They had McGregor lose. Sheamus lost a couple months ago. I don't know how they're going.
You think the Irish people give two shits
about
Sheamus?
They love Sheamus and Becky Lynch.
Okay.
I'm not sure if she's as beloved as Sheamus, to tell you the truth. But yeah, they have a lot to complain about, and you know, when their man's on top, they won't shut the fuck up about it. When he loses, they're just like, they're out. And that's good, because I don't want to hear people making excuses. I don't want them to be like, well, he fought higher and blah, blah, blah. He didn't make excuses.
He took it like a man.
Yeah, he's like, yo, I hit him with my best shots, and he's too big. He didn't go down, and I didn't use my energy right. He didn't. He gassed himself out. You know how? From punching Nate so many times in the face. And
yeah, I don't know, man. It's that's how it is, though, man. MMA fans are fickle. As soon as anyone loses, they're quote-unquote exposed, and they were never that good to start with, and it's just like, that's how it is. It's like, regardless of, I mean, we saw with Ronda Rousey even worse than this, you know? As soon as somebody loses, they get shit on.
Yeah, and then they
I understand in some respects there are a lot of people that just genuinely did not like the way Conor McGregor presented himself. And that's fine. If you take some sense of satisfaction in the fact that he lost, whatever. You know, enjoy yourself. Have have fun, take your shot on Twitter. But at the end of the day, man, these people that are, like, going crazy about it, they need to understand that his wins and losses are his, not theirs.
Dude, to say, here's the thing. To say he's a good fighter and the fact that he beat Aldo in 13 seconds and put him out cold when no one's been able to barely touch the guy for 10 years, and he went up to 170 and fought just because he's a fighter, because John Jones wouldn't do that.
He's got giant balls.
Yeah,
dude,
he does.
He's like, and that's why I like him. Once he starts in with the money and the bullshit, of course I want to watch him get knocked out. He lost, I was like, yeah! And then I was done.
Yeah.
Like, maybe now he'll shut the fuck up for 5 seconds. And he did. The whole night, he stopped. He hasn't talked shit since. He doesn't have anything to promote since then. He doesn't have anything to market. So he's been quiet. And
even for me, the excitement in it was not even, like, so much at Connor's expense as it was just, like, the Diazes have been, like, busting their ass in this business for a very long time, and Nate just got paid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That was dope, like, too. Exactly.
Yeah, it's, like, good for Nate. You know, he just got paid, and it's about time.
Point is,
so that's where it was for me.
Point is, everybody have been focusing so much on Conor McGregor losing, they didn't focus on Nate Diaz winning. And
that was
awesome. And they're like, easily the biggest fight of your career. I think him beating Cerrone was really the biggest win of his career.
Yeah, and it's funny to me because, I mean, Jay Glazer, I don't know how you feel about
Jay. I hate Jay Glazer.
Thank you, me too. I think he should stay in the NFL and stay the fuck out of MMA.
There's no bigger ass kisser of ex-MMA fighters than Jay Glazer.
Agreed. But you have basically Nate Diaz knocking the guy out, or choking the guy out, I should say, and then saying, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers. And then you have him do an interview with the Fox Sports 1 crew, and you have Jay Glazer saying, what do you think of the biggest upset, you know? It's like, fucker, he just said it's not an upset. He expected to win. You know, it wasn't that huge an upset.
It wasn't an upset.
But the line for Vegas.
It's a fucking top fighter fighting another top fighter.
Well, the
one's going to win, one's going to lose.
You know who makes those lines in
Vegas?
That's
what I'm saying. Like, he was an underdog in that sense.
Of course. Of course he was. Because Conor McGregor talks the talk. He walks the walk. He's won. He's done everything he said. So, yeah, he's going to be the favorite.
Yeah.
On paper, not in my opinion, the favorite is Nate Diaz, because I'm thinking Nate Diaz hasn't gotten knocked out ever. He's only been rocked once. He's got a long reach. He's tough, and he's an asshole in there. And
he is that. Dude, did you get a chance to watch the video? There's a video out there of the second round. But the audio is Nate's corner.
Yeah, I watched it.
Love it. Jake Shields, man.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it is. I love that stuff.
Mouth and
Stockton, motherfucker.
Stockton, that's all heart right there, motherfucker.
It's all heart. Stockton, motherfucker.
Like, those guys, when you hear the term ride and die, that's those guys.
Yeah.
And that's how it
should
be.
There's no tighter group than those guys, and it's awesome that, you know, this happened for them. So, I'm excited about it, more so than... I'm also excited to see what comes when Conor comes back, but the thing that baffled me is how does his losing empower Jose Aldo to go on Twitter and call him a pussy?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
didn't he just knock you out in 13 seconds?
Yeah, it's like, you got to shut up and just be quiet.
Yeah, you should probably sit down. You're probably still dizzy.
Here's the thing that after all of this crap, like, I like Conor more. Because everybody's been shitting on him.
Like
so,
the Patriots.
So I like him because everyone's been hating on him. And I'm disappointed in Dos Anjos and Aldo. Like, really? You're going to... You pussy.
Yeah.
He slept you in 13 seconds.
Yeah.
No one.
He made you go away fast.
Amazing victory, Conor. I look forward to us fighting. That's about all you should have said.
And he's like, yeah, you can't run now, pussy. He's like, what?
I don't think that's your line.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin Hart.
Are you good?
You good?
You good now?
Dad, I don't think that's your line.
Exactly.
Straight from Kevin Hart. Thank you, Dion. That was perfect.
That's a good one.
That was not your line. That was not his line. I don't know. Maybe he got lost in translation.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't speak a word of English. I understand, like, talking shit to your opponent beforehand to, you know, promote the fight or whatever, but it's gotten silly. Did I tell you the story of Hoist Gracie, like, gave me shit? It actually pertained to our future guest, King Mo. Mo came to a signing here in San Diego for Bellator.
The one that I missed?
David Buster's?
Yes, at David Buster's, one Dion did not go to.
Nice job, Dion.
It was Hoist was signing, Chandler was signing, Bonner, Mo, Ken Shamrock, Tito Ortiz, Randy Couture.
I'll say Tito had to be there.
Yeah, Randy Couture.
That's a heck of a signing, actually.
It's fucking amazing. And the line was out the door. And since I went with Mo, so I was behind the table, you know, so I was with all the guys signing, just chilling. And so Hoist Gracie, I had my son with me and my son's friend, and whatever, we're sitting back there, and Hoist grabs my shoulder and, like, turns me around, and he's like, gets up in my face and goes, hey, and he points to my son, my 14-year-old, and goes, he said you could take me. I go, yeah, I could take you there if you want to get a beer. I mean, I could take you over there, Mr. Gracie. Hoist likes fucking with me then.
Did he laugh?
Oh yeah, no, it was 100% 100% playing around, but he
and shit awesome. Himself.
What a great guy.
Did you shit a little?
Yeah.
No, I knew he was.
Did you pee a little?
I knew he was busting balls. But if Randy Couture had said that, I'd be like, shit, Randy's serious. He doesn't know any better.
He doesn't have a joke mechanism in his body.
He doesn't, unless he's in the friggin' Expendables telling bad ones.
Oh, damn.
That are on paper.
All right, so did we cover all the MMA we need to cover?
Yeah, pretty much, I guess. I mean, if we don't have a fight for a couple weeks. Would you get, you know what Dion's been doing? He's playing Words with Friends this whole time. You have one time a week to come here.
Check in, Dion.
I am checked in.
You put your phone down. Speak.
Put your fucking phone down.
Oh, really, dude?
Oh.
God damn.
See, Dan? Oh.
Oh. Really? Really?
Oh. Did you ever see that Bernie Mac when he's on the original Kings of Comedy?
Yeah.
When he's doing the kid, he's like, he stutter real bad. When he says that,
yep.
Then the kid was like, oh. Oh,
man, Bernie Mac is hilarious. I miss Bernie Mac.
That's you right now. Oh. Before he says.
Did you guys watch that video I texted to you guys from Jay Farrow?
Yeah, that shit was hilarious.
Yeah,
what?
His stand-up is, like, amazing, and then it's, like, shit.
Who, Farrow?
Yeah.
I never seen his stand-up.
He
was on First Take. And he was doing an impersonation of Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
His Eddie Murphy is on point.
Yeah.
His Denzel is on point.
Dave Chappelle was...
Yeah, the Chappelle I thought was the worst of his.
No,
I thought he did get Kevin Hart.
My boy.
Yeah, nobody can make... You can't make fun of... You can, it's Dave Chappelle. This is a very pro-Dave Chappelle show.
Yes. I think he's the greatest comedian of all time.
Yeah, I'll give you that. People want
to, hard to argue that.
I mean, people like Cat Williams and Kevin Hart say so that. This, speaking of which, did you see the video of Cat Williams getting his ass kicked?
Who did he get beat up by?
He got beat up.
Did they jump him? Little ass kick?
They didn't jump him. And that title is misleading, by the way.
If it's 501, that is considered
he jumped. He freaking.
He attacked some dude.
He was on stage at a rap concert. Going like this, swaying back and forth. Cat, you high boy. Cat, and then he just runs into this guy like
forearm,
elbow, the fuck out, and then gets arrested.
Did he
then
really?
Gets put on the ground and give? They throw him a boot party.
Damn, serving only.
Yeah,
you haven't seen that video?
I will never let somebody jump me like that. That's all I'm saying.
I know.
Shut up, dude.
Shut up, Dion.
Shut up, Dion.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got fucking throttled. It's about time. Cat Williams is a feisty guy for his size.
That's more stomping that's going on with Cat Williams than it's going on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, Monday Night Raw, man. I'm so pissed off that I decided to start writing the Raw report again on our website.
Time to do it.
Huh?
This week's episode was pretty...
It was better than the week before, that's for sure.
That's fucked up that we have to compare it to last week's episode, which was fucking doo-doo.
What happened?
That's like our expectations for Monday Night Raw. How Raw was last week was so...
On this week, I like the Shane McMahon segments.
Shane McMahon showing off his Muay Thai skills?
Clenching a knee?
Did you see him going with that plum and those knees?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I saw a video. Was it you that sent me the video? One of you guys sent me a video.
Damn.
Somehow I got a video of him doing training Muay Thai, and he knows what he's doing. And so then he was, he was doing his Muay Thai thing, and against guys apparently from NXT that we've never seen before.
Yeah. So do you think he's really going to wrestle Undertaker?
Fuck yeah, he's wrestling Undertaker.
He has to lose. Undertaker's not losing at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he is.
You think Undertaker's losing?
I think Undertaker's going to lose to Shane.
No.
I do. I don't think it'll be like, just a straight loss. I think
some
people will involve themselves.
The Mean Street Posse.
Dude.
I fucking hope not. If I ever have to see Pete Gaskin,
that's
WWE.
What's
going to
happen.
Pete
they're gonna
Gas
make it,
comes back. Oh, my
they're
going
to make a special
sweater
appearance.
Vest.
They have to.
They have to what?
They have to make an appearance.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
The Mean Street Posse is garbage.
They will get a big pop if...
You know how old the Mean Street Posse probably are?
Yeah, they're not coming back, dude.
Even if they have some old guys...
They're old.
Are they?
Trust me. It's going to be somebody coming back and involving themselves to cost the Undertaker.
Who do you think? You think it's somebody on the injury reserve list? Maybe...
I don't know. I don't know who the fuck it's going to be or what's going to happen.
The Balor Club, whatever? I think they might...
That would be cool, but it's no way Vince would let those guys come up and do the Undertaker like that.
God, the dumbest names ever. But, Pete Gas, Joey Abs, and Rodney. Rodney. Like, you throwing a Rodney with Pete Gas and Joey Abs?
Just a random Rodney.
From
That's
the
awesome.
Mean Street Posse from Greenwich,
Connecticut.
Really?
The hard streets of Greenwich, Connecticut.
God, Mean Street Posse was garbage.
You remember it all wrong, Dan.
I wish I could remember it in some way that paints them in a positive light, but I can't.
His actual name is Pete Gas. I just looked him on Twitter. His name is Pete Gasparino.
Pete Gasparino, ladies and gentlemen.
That's how you do it.
Pete Gasparino. So he stayed Pete Gas. He's only got 1,600 followers. Come on, Pete. Yes. I got six times that.
Step your game up, Pete.
And he was on TV, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. We don't need him back.
He's saying you're not going to see me on Raw.
Damn it. He didn't say anything about WrestleMania, though.
Let's see. Sweater vest and dress pants for Mania. Thank you. It means a lot, more than you will ever know. I mean, Pete Gas, he's like...
How are we not talking about Sami Zayn, though?
Pete Gas has a web or a podcast, I guess. Straight out of Greenwich.
Oh. Really? Is that the name of it?
Episode 97. Straight out of Greenwich.
Well played.
We should make the GWO, the Greenwich World Order, and do the yeah.
Oh my god, that's fucking great.
It is great. Wait, hold on. What were you just saying, Dan?
Who?
Or wait, you were saying something.
Yeah, about Sami Zayn. How are we not talking about just your boy, right?
I was excited, man. Yeah. His music hit. So, and I was saying to Dion last night.
You got surprised?
I was surprised. And the match was great before that.
Yeah, it was. Man, Neville is so fucking good.
Dude, when he does that, I think is a red arrow, but he does it off the second rope.
Off the second rope? Fuck.
Like, dude.
He's epic. Him and Kevin
Owens.
Can you
imagine a WrestleMania ladder match with Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Neville?
I'd watch.
That's
for the Intercontinental Championship? Yes. Please.
That would be so.
Either one-on-one or the triple threat match, I'll be down.
Yeah, I would love it.
I think Neville deserves to be on that show. He's too good. Not.
Yeah, he does. If Kalisto can be the U.S. champion.
God, he's the worst U.S. champion ever. They're killing what John Cena did to that belt.
I know. Did you read my article this week? I'm sure Evan did.
I did.
Nice. Good work, man. They have totally devalued the U.S. title.
Yeah. Do you remember the U.S. Open Challenge was one of the high points of Raw last year?
Yeah.
And now it's like...
Literally, who gives a shit about it?
It's Kalisto. And he's good, too.
I like Kalisto.
Ryback having a moment with Kalisto telling him to drop Sankara.
Evan said that was the worst promo ever.
God, Ryback is such a
garbage.
Makes
sense. Like, why...
He's like a kind of a bully, but kind of like...
I need to talk to you about you're a great champion, but you're small, but you've got a big heart. You can get your ass kicked by me, but not. I'm like... Are you complimenting him, or are you trying to start a fight? Like, what is happening right now?
Playing some mind games.
The best thing that happened on Raw was when Mark Henry grabbed the pizza.
Yeah, deep dish pizza. My favorite.
Yeah.
He's like, Chicago.
Fuck Chicago.
Like, he just finds random pizzas in Chicago.
See, a punk chant started when Vince was out.
That was awesome.
Are you done?
I knew you would peter out.
That would last very long.
Are you done? Yep. Apparently you are. They should have held that chant the entire time. Because Vince would have addressed it.
Yeah.
He would have said something.
That son of a bitch ain't never coming.
Vince is not the one to fuck with on those chants.
But, I mean...
And they called him an asshole, too.
Dude, they started the bringing asshole
that,
chant.
They bring that back.
They brought back the
90s. Like, yeah, I was a little play, crowd.
Ooh,
I was like, is Austin here tonight?
I was hoping so.
That's what it felt like.
I don't
like.
Know how good your hearing is, but you got 15,000 people calling you an asshole.
Then I'm... Damn it. Raw used to be so awesome.
It did, dude.
Vince is probably shit. Like, damn it. Caught me again giving the finger. Damn it. Caught me again calling Shane a fucking cocksucker.
Hopefully, did you see the Dolph Ziggler promo after Raw?
After Raw?
Yeah, on the YouTube stupid shit. I don't know how it wasn't on Raw, but he cut a good promo talking about how he can't stay down and the authority can do all this shit and they can throw all this bullshit at him, but he's going to keep fighting and...
No, trust me, he's stayed down.
Man, poor Dolph. I remember
Dolph is down,
best.
Dude.
I thought he was like one of the best guys on the whole roster.
He's going to do his comedy thing, so they're just like, you're done, Dolph.
Even before that.
Yeah, they don't have any respect for Dolph.
So, can we talk about Hulk Hogan, 10-inch penis, wearing a bandana in court, that whole thing?
He has a 10-inch penis, but Terry Bollea does not have a 10-inch penis.
I like how he's like, I don't have a 10-inch penis. I'd be like, yeah,
so
I have
what,
a
10-inch
penis
the, I didn't,
around.
I didn't see the clip, but I saw like Twitter was blowing up over it.
Yeah.
What happened?
It's just the...
I don't even know why they were asking him about the size of his penis.
Maybe to see if he was lying because it was on tape. Did you ever see that sex tape? It was really shitty.
Yeah, I saw it. It was horrendous.
Of course you did.
There's nothing. Here's the funniest thing where I'm just like watching the People versus OJ. They're like, Marsha Clark. They found a naked picture of you on the internet. I was like, Marsha. Okay, Marsha Clark.
You Googled it right away, didn't you?
Of course I did.
So did I.
Like, Nate, like,
you able to find an unedited version?
Posted 2 hours ago, you know? I was like, all right, Marsha Clark, she's naked.
I couldn't find an unedited one. All the ones I saw had, like, black lines over the boobies.
Don't you know now that the internet is designed that way? You got to put in Marsha Clark nude, Marsha Clark sex. You'll get a couple of things come up. Anytime you put anybody's name with sex in it, about 10, 15 pages down, you'll start getting into trannies.
Oh.
And it's every time. Every time.
There's Marsha Clark naked.
Thank you, Dan. Stick with me. And
thank you, Evan.
I'll let you know how to work the internet.
Well, when it comes to finding porn, there's nobody better than you.
I seriously can find naked pictures of any single person on the internet. It's scary.
It's his gift and his curse.
It's a tough life being you.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's a hard knock life.
You can't just type in Marcia Clark. It's Marcia Clark nude, Marcia Clark boobs, breasts.
Boobs.
First picture.
There they are, Marcia Clark's boobs. I'm looking right at them. I'm currently looking at Marcia Clark's boobies.
Good for her.
It's a vagina. She has boobs.
You see vagina?
The first picture.
Are you talking about the one against the tree?
Yeah.
That's a fake, isn't it? That's not really her, is it?
Yes, it is. And there's one with her and her husband on the beach. That one's her.
That's the one where I saw boobies.
1979. And then there's one of her bending down with her boobs in a shirt, which is like, that's like the hottest shit ever. Yeah.
Yeah, I see that.
Except
one
for
too.
The permed hair.
Yeah.
Kill yourself with that permed hair.
Hey, you see my boy, what's that black dude's name with the glasses?
Christopher Darden.
Hey. You see a man put...
Yeah, who knew he was tapping that ass?
We don't know that he's tapping it.
I Googled that, too.
He said they had a relationship.
A very intense relationship.
What the fuck does that mean if he ain't fucking her?
they were dealing with the O.J. Simpson trial.
Good for him. He needed it. He was all stressed out. Are you guys going to watch Roblox this Saturday?
No.
You're not going to watch it?
No.
Dude, their specials on the network are always dope.
Why aren't you going to watch Roblox?
Why would I?
Because it's on a Saturday at 5 o'clock p.m.
Better question is, why the fuck wouldn't you? It's on Saturday night. What else you got going on?
Do you really think that anything's going to happen different? Oh, suddenly?
Dean Ambrose is not winning the WWE.
So suddenly Dean Ambrose is going to be the one going against Triple H?
Hey, Kimball don't like fucking Triple H either.
He doesn't like who?
He don't like Roblox either.
It's just, I just don't get it. What's the point?
Just to have something cool on the network. It's like when they have that show.
I'm not sure why you're,
The one in Tokyo.
Why you're shitting on Roblox.
Yeah, all those what did they do? They had Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston.
And that was a good ass whooping. Kofi took it like a man. And so did the rest of New Day. It was sad to see him get fucked up like that. But.
He got wasted by Brock Lesnar.
He did.
No
quick.
I'll tell you why you should watch Roblox. Because.
Brock fighting.
It's going to be, I think, that Big Cass and...
Oh, yeah, they're fighting.
Yeah, they're on it.
Tag team, the NXT Tag Team Championships.
That's going to be on Roblox?
Yeah, see?
Yeah, there's some NXT stuff on it, too, dude.
Oh, by the way, today, which is Friday, possibly Saturday or Monday, depending on what Dan has happening.
It's going to be on Friday.
But, that Sami Zayn triple threat match and that you said was supposed to be so spectacular is going to be on NXT.
Oh, tonight?
Yep. And it's probably going to be the last time we see Sami Zayn on NXT, I'm assuming.
He's going to get the takeover special, isn't he?
Yeah, they're going to probably send him down over and over.
That'll be his last. That's what they did with Kevin Owens after he moved up. He came down to lose the title and then went up. So... that's more than likely what they're going to do with Sami Zayn. No way they're bringing him out on Raw for no reason. Just to, like, attack him after the match and then send him back.
Man.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I think that they're going to probably go at it at WrestleMania.
It's like, I'm wondering if Baron Corbin or Samoa Joe will come up and join Kevin Owens, and they'll have a tag team match against Neville and Sami Zayn.
That would be interesting.
We're on that road.
You know what's funny is that that'll be the best match of the damn night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be good. I'll definitely be watching Roblox this Saturday. Lesnar's on the card versus, of course, my man Bray Wyatt.
Okay. So before we get Mo on,
okay.
Dion knows exactly where I'm going. Last week's show... Dan says he watched the movie Unfriended and said, man,
that was scary.
That was scary. That's one part of it. It was scary. So Dion and I, after the show, are like, oh, fuck yeah, scary movie. You know, Dion, he's in a little funk. Let's get him out of it. Watch a scary movie. My son, my 14-year-old, I said, let's three of us watch it. Let me tell you what the least scary movie I've ever seen is. Sense and Sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
And Unfriended.
Yes.
What?
Fuck you, man.
About that movie was scary.
It was funny.
It was fucking scary. It was intense. And I don't know that I said it was scary.
You said it was scary. Dion went back and listened to the show.
Fuck you, Dion.
Dion took his headphones off. He was so disappointed.
I don't care if you guys thought it was scary. Fuck you all.
It was a good, I feel like it was like something you can laugh at, but it was had some like moments that like, oh shit.
It was like a comp. I already told you guys what it was.
Yeah.
I don't watch scary movies.
I love scary movies.
Is it because you have bad
It was
name?
Pitch black in here. I was editing the show. It was on in the background with no sound. I looked up at it. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Well, it's kind of trippy though, huh?
Was- I turned the sound on and it fucking, I thought it was sketchy. I thought it was very intense and somewhat scary.
If you're on a Skype call and you see another fucking...
Well, that was messing me up because it was right after the show. And we start watching this movie, and it was like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, I'm so used to answering. I'm like, oh, shit, Dan's calling. I'm like, no, wait, you know, and then the TV mouse is moving. I'm like, stop, why? Like, my screen has a mind of its own. You know, like, I kind of just forgot for a minute that it was a movie. And
so you guys didn't think it was scary at all?
Not at all. Not one.
Oh, there you go. I guess as a scary movie connoisseur, I don't know what scary movies are.
No, you're good.
You're not.
I don't watch them. I don't like scary movies. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Did you ever see Paranormal Experience? I think that's what it's called, the first one. Paranormal Activity, yeah.
Yeah, I love those.
I got drugged to the theater to see that accidentally. Not accidentally.
You just didn't survive that at all.
No, it was pretty much... I was there with a girl, so I couldn't really, like, just be like, all right, let's go. Fuck this. But it was pretty much all I could do to make it through that movie.
What? Cry?
It was scary as shit.
Yeah, it was scary. It was.
And I was just sitting there like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here.
I don't want to be here. You have your, like, arms folded and your eyes closed. Like, I don't want to be here.
I had to keep playing it cool. You know, I'd be like, no, it's all good. It's all
man,
good.
Man, if you're scared, just be like, ah! All right, nobody going to judge.
Shit, that damn, man. Well, that was the first kind of movie of its kind.
Yeah.
Filmed where?
It scared the living shit out of me. And
Carl.
That night, I did not.
That's where Dion lives. Carlsbad. James Wan, the guy that did Saw. His thing that he does.
Was it R?
What, Saw? Saw was, yeah. But all these new ones, like, what, that bitch doll, what's her name?
Annabelle.
And The Conjuring.
I like The Conjuring.
And the fucking Dark Skies. All those kind of movies now. What they do is the dialogue is like so low. So you have to jack the volume up.
And then some shit happens.
And then they do the jump scares. And the jump scares are so loud that you're like, Lord Jesus help me.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think there's a shit.
You want to see a scary movie that you could deal with, Dan? Go watch A Haunted House.
Yeah, you love that movie.
I will maybe check that out.
Oh, it's funny. You'll laugh.
It's Marlon Wayans.
He's like doing a scary movie of.
Yeah, I could definitely handle that.
It's good.
It makes fun of all of those paranormal activities, and then the second Haunted House makes fun of Annabelle.
Yeah.
And Sinister.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Oh, don't watch the movie by yourself, Dan. Don't watch them by yourself.
Watch it with the lights on, Dan.
Yes.
Never heard of either
nightmares.
One of
them. Never heard of either one of them.
Good.
The only reason I know who James Wan is because he directed the Furious 7.
That movie I just saw this week for the first time.
Was it epic?
It was like, it was cool and held my attention. But I told you this in Vaughn's on Friday. The most unrealistic shit, like The Rock had a broken arm.
Yeah.
And after a day, he was like, gotta take this thing off.
Because he's The Rock.
The thing that I didn't like about it, when you talk about unrealistic, is when they're in Dubai.
The cars through three buildings.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just kind of like, okay, you know what? I'm willing to, like, suspend my disbelief here for a little bit, but that's just retarded.
So you mean to tell me that Vin Diesel acts as a human... as a human carjack and lifts the car up for 5 minutes while Paul Walker's fucking around with the underside of it. He's lifting up this car because it's so light, but they're able to drive through three buildings and not turn into like a soda can getting crushed. Like
that would have been the most logical explanation.
Come on, James Wan.
Yeah. Come on, James Wan. You're better than that.
You can't, Dion. Ladies and gentlemen, Dion cannot stay off his phone.
Because I'm looking at these damn words.
Hey, Dion, maybe you should put your phone down and do this for
me. I am doing this. Great, too.
The hour a week that we ask you to actually show up on time and perform.
Actually, Dion did this whole thing with a beer in his hand.
Yep.
Jesus, Dion, you are so professional. What?
Is that ours or yours?
Yours.
We're gonna fire Dion.
Yours. He said it like he's mad. Yours.
You ain't drinking them. Laura ain't drinking them. You said you needed some help.
So he just came in, grabbed a beer out of their fridge, and just started drinking
it.
It's
like my second
home,
Dan.
Dude, this is what, when Ryan was doing the show, this is what Ryan did. They come in the house, they go in the kitchen, and then they
come
upstairs.
This is the first time that I did this.
Put it this way.
Can we talk about firing Dion?
Really?
Dion's the reason why people listen.
No, they don't give a fuck about me.
They love his penetrating questions that he asks the interviewers.
Well, if Dion wasn't here keeping it light, it would be like this. Shut up, Dan. Fuck you, Evan. Shut up, Dan. Fuck you, Evan.
That's true.
We got Dion in the middle as of... Dan, yeah, you're our Xavier Woods. Dan and I didn't have a gimmick.
Wait, does that make me Big E?
You're Big D Langston? I should have introduced you as that today.
Next week, for sure.
Big D Langston.
That's hilarious.
Everybody, stick around. We're going to have King Mo on. We're going to talk some wrestling and have a good time. Dion and I may or may not be the product of my computer crashing. I guess you'll have to see.
Yeah, wait for that cliffhanger.
Wait for that, and see you on the next segment, and then not, and then coming back. Everybody, welcome back to the Crimson Canvas Podcast. Evan Showman here with my man Dan Rosen on the air. We have King Mo. Mo, what is going on, man? What's happening in the life of Mo?
I'm just chilling, man. I just came back from, I was up there at Tulsa, Oklahoma, spa with a professional boxer, Alan Green, and kickboxer Randy Blake and a few other cats, you know what I'm saying? Just boxing. I mainly spend more time with Alan Green sparring and just training. It was good work.
I saw a picture from Instagram, and I know he trains with Sweetness, Alan Sweetness Green, and so you kind of like what the looks they were giving you out there, or just different?
Well, I sparred with him before in the past. It's like my fifth time, my fifth time sparring with him, so I've known him from the past, you know what I'm saying, and he had a fight coming up that fell through, and I told him I'd come out there and spar with him, you know. And because to me, I like to go out there and be out my comfort zone. You know, I spar with a lot of pro boxers. I spar with some pro kickboxers. And it's not a thing to me. I like to improve. I like to learn. So I picked up some good stuff from him.
Now, were you staying with Gerald? Because, I mean, you and Gerald have a very colorful history. Obviously, Gerald and Mo are friends, but... Gerald, Hurricane Harris, and Mo like to play some tricks on the media, see how pissy people could get, and they did the whole bum fight championship thing going back and forth and just kind of playing a ruse to make a point to show that fans and media, you know, will just, that's everything they do is just based on what they're reading on Twitter or whatever. That was a kind of a fun time. I miss those days where you really had too much fun with people online, and now you're kind of radio silent.
Because now, to me, when Twitter first hit the scene, it was fun, but now, social media is too much. Now you get Snapchat, you got Instagram, you got this, you got that, and Facebook, and it's just too much, man. I can't spend all the time on social media. It's like social media runs people's life now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll go on there once in a while if I'm bored to pick up, like, you know, to see what's going on. But for the most part, like, I don't be on there much. It's kind of boring, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, we don't hear anything from you at all on social media. Then suddenly, like, there's a GOP debate, and you're losing your damn mind.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, man. I started paying more attention to politics more and more, you know, because I feel like, you know, now people want to blame Barack Obama for race relations, and they're saying that he's like the cause of everything bad in America. And I like to listen, I like to see, because me, I think outside the box. Like, you know, people want to talk about race relations, like how Barack Obama did this and that, but has anyone thought that social media and, you know, has hurt race relations? Like, you know, now everybody has a cell phone, and everybody can record, take pictures with their cell phone. And the first thing they do is that they see something, is they post it on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or Snapchat. And once that happens, or they upload it on YouTube, once that happens, you know what I'm saying, it goes viral. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, like, you know, people didn't have cell phones, so like things were happening, but it wasn't that known unless it was out there in the news. Now with the internet, things, you know, anything can pop up and it'll spread. You know what I'm saying? Spread like wildfire.
There's a lot of that going on right now, and as we've seen, it seems like more recently the whole like white privilege, cops against blacks, stuff like that has really been more prevalent the past, honestly, 6 months. And it's been real bad. But the thing I always say is, like, this shit's always been here. It's just now, like you said, everybody's got the phones and everybody's post after the initial thing happens.
I wouldn't say it's just cops against blacks. It's cops against poor, you know what I'm saying? But the sad thing is, in this nation, a lot of the people that live in poverty or below are tend to be black or minority. You know what I'm saying? I remember a guy told John Hackelman. John Hackelman, like, he's cool, but sometimes I think he doesn't really understand. You know, he lives off in the closed, you know, in like a little box. He doesn't have any minority friends besides people who know some MMA. You know, and where there's that, San Luis Obispo is probably like 98.999% white, and the rest is just Mexican, and it's like 0.03% black. And he was telling me, oh, you know, blacks put themselves black. If you work hard, you'll get to where you need to be. You know, you see the Asians, they come over here and they do well. And I'm like, yeah, they do. But, you know, I didn't tell them this, but I'm like, think about this. Every religion, or not every religion, every group of people that has been oppressed is living at, you know, at poverty below. You think about this. Look at the Native Americans. They're not living good. The Native Hawaiians, people forget about them. Native Hawaiians, they got done dirty, you know what I'm saying? If you look at Hawaii as a state, a lot of the Native Hawaiians are living in poverty, you know what I'm saying? Same thing with blacks. Same thing with, like, you know, the Asians, when the Asians came to America, they had their communities. They got put in concentration camps during World War II, but a lot of them got reparations, from what I understand, from what I read. You know, I could be wrong, but I read that some got reparations, you know, but not many other people, like, you don't see no Native Americans. They get the casinos, but are the casinos really helping them? Because if you look at the casinos, a lot of people in the casinos are Native American as well, losing their money. You know what I'm saying? So is it helping them or is it hurting them? You know, it just comes down. It's not about race, really. It's about opportunity and socioeconomic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we're seeing a lot of that right now. You know, whatever there's the presidential race, it always comes out a little more because everybody's dirty laundry comes out. I was just reading someone anonymous got pissed off at Donald Trump and hacked his phone and found some, like, voicemails that he left. And it's never going to be a good thing when you go into someone's private conversation, because even the shit I say in private
The shit you say in public.
The shit I say in public, I could pretty much be, you know, sent to prison for half the time. But, you know, this just the stupid shit that's in my head, you know, whatever. Everybody would be at fault for something. Like, okay, here, let me give you an example. And we're gonna go here, Dan. We're gonna go here with People versus O.J. Simpson.
Let's do it. My favorite show.
I don't know if you've seen it, Mo, but it's incredible. It's horrible. It's amazing. I there's so many words to describe it. But in last night's episode, Marcia Clark, you know, the prosecutor, she apparently her first marriage, she took some pictures with her titties out, like on her honeymoon, you know, in like the Caribbean, however you want to call it. And it didn't even matter what kind of prosecutor she was or what she was saying in court or the evidence that she was showing. What mattered is she had pictures with her titties out.
And, her image, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like she didn't do anything wrong. She was – everybody's going topless, bottomless, whatever, in the Caribbean in the
in Not the to 80s. Mention it was the 70s, man.
80s, 70s, whatever. I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, God, most people's phones, if you actually really dug deep into them, you find some foul shit. And it's still not that bad. It's just we have access to all this stuff now.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, I personally – I don't like to get people's personal, you know, the personal stuff unless I know them personally. Even then, I don't try to get into it unless they share their information with me. You know, I'm not about people. You know, if you want to do what you want to do, go ahead. Do it. As long as you ain't killing people and harming people or robbing and stealing or whatever, you know, do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's true, though. Nobody, once those pictures came out, nobody cared professionally, you know, what she had to offer. It was just, you know, she was an object at that point, which is kind of sad.
It's all about image. Image matters. Image really matters a lot. You know, and depending on, especially like, people want to talk about, you know, it's privilege, like, you know, like, you think about this, like, if that was a man, get a pass. Male, we got male privileges. We can mess up. We can fuck up and do certain things and get away with it. Let a woman do the same thing, and guess what? They get crucified. That's why people, when people talk about, oh, there's no such thing as privileges, there is privileges, man. You know, everybody has them, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, dude. It's that is an absolute fact. Let's switch gears a little bit. I remember when you first got involved in TNA wrestling with Bellator and TNA. You said that wrestling training was harder than MMA training, in your opinion.
Yeah.
Are you still doing any wrestling training? I mean, this show, it's like our show is like we cover 20% MMA and like 80% pro wrestling. So I just wanted to try to get some pro wrestling going.
You know what? Nah, I'm not. But like, if I have to do a match for the, you know, ATTWF, because, you know, American Top Team Wrestling Federation, I'll hit the ropes the day before I do my match. But yeah, man, wrestling is a whole different animal. It's evolving. Like, it's evolving, especially with the independent scene. Following on the show, you see so much more crazy stuff out there. People taking risks. Bumps, sequences, like chain wrestling. It's, I don't know, man. It's outside this. I can't see myself wrestling now. The pace is too fast. I could do, you know, some house shows here and there, but I can't do like the independent shows with the Young Bucks and Adam Cole, Joey Ryan. Those guys are hard workers. Kenny King, Ring of Honor has a good product. You know, TNA stepped the game back up. NXT is amazing. You know, WWE is doing their thing too. So. New Japan, I think right now wrestling is in a good place.
Yeah, it's actually funny because myself and Evan and our other co-host Dion, who's not arrived yet, we're all big fans of NXT. That's our favorite promotion right now, and it's just amazing to me that I actually think the quality and the product and the character and everything else on NXT is the best right now that's going. So,
well, Ring of Honor has the best thing right now. Ring of Honor is like, I went to a house show and I was blowing my mind. But we like Ring of Honor because they do like, you know, they'll work with New Japan. And New Japan, Kenny Omega, the Elite, Kenny Omega and the Bucks. Man, that's the best three-man tag team ever I've ever seen, though, hands down. They're great. But Kenny Omega, you have to watch it. That dude can really wrestle. He can wrestle his ass off. And the Young Bucks, I'm a favorite tag team, you know what I'm saying, behind Harlem Heat, obviously. But
Denver's
Harlem Heat. Denver's my favorite tag team right now. Like, they're so talented, man. I'm a big-time fan of theirs.
They are. They are amazing. And I wish that more people got to see their talents and got to ply their trade on a little bigger stage in terms of, you know, American viewership. because they are absolutely amazing.
I think they're better. They're better. I watched them. I watched them at the House of Hardcore, and I watched them at Ring of Honor. It was Jay Lethal. It was like, you know, Jay Lethal and I forgot who he was with. It was Jay Lethal and one of those guys from the House of Truth versus the Young Bucks, and that was a great match. And the Young Bucks, they're super kicking people. You super kick Taylor Hendricks. It was a good match, man. I was pretty impressed. And my boy, you know, John Harney just sent me a Instagram thing. Not Instagram, but a link from Facebook, or actually YouTube, showing Joy, like, you know, showing Joy Ryan. They put Tax in his shorts and him the super kicks and nuts with the Tax in his shorts, the Young Bucks. Yeah, I'm going to send that to you because that's crazy. You know,
holy,
that's what you call it. Yeah, super kicks
so
in the nuts with Tax. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's not right, man. That's insanity. That'll ruin your weekend.
Man, that's a vasectomy.
No kidding.
Who's your favorite wrestler right now?
Oh, man, it's so tough. I love Baron Corbin at NXT. I like his persona and his style. Let's see, who else do I like? I like so many people, it's crazy. I'm a huge
Apollo Crews. Uha Nation is doing this thing right now. Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews is so good. And that'll be something to talk about when Evan comes back, because from back before he was, like you said, Uha Nation, I was telling Evan about how great he was just from watching him on YouTube. And he showed up as Apollo Crews and is just killing it. And Evan doesn't like him. Evan thinks he's overrated.
Well, no, I watched through his matches, but he ain't, like, he don't have the same, I think he had a different demeanor, you know what I'm saying, when he's with Dragon Gate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think they messed up with, like, certain people, because some people are like, could you imagine if the Young Bucks went to NXT, how much they'd change them?
Oh my gosh!
Like, look at Hideo Itami, and then look at Shinsuke Nakamura. They're gonna change him. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna change him, and it's gonna be so worse. You know what I'm saying? I like what he has going on. What he built is amazing, and they're gonna change it up.
I hope they don't change it too much, but you're right. They always do. They are. They're gonna mess him up. Sometimes that's the biggest thing with the NXT guys going up, and with the guys coming in, obviously from New Japan and stuff. You're happy for them because, you know, they're getting a boost in their career and everything. But at the same time, you're kind of bummed because it's like you see the guys that they've brought up from NXT and, you know, what they've done with them. And Tyler Breeze is a good example. I mean, they've just basically buried him. You know, Neville, they've basically, you know, he doesn't do anything of any consequence. And it's just, like, so sad because they were so good at NXT.
I'm glad that, you know, I think guys like, you know, AJ Styles, I love to do with him. Now, I wish that they'd give, like, you know, they'd let, like, you know, let my boy Samoa Joe move up. I wish they would let, like, Austin Aries. I wish, you know, there are a lot of guys, guys from TNA that really, like, you know, Bobby Roode, you know, James Storm. Those guys, like, you know, those guys wrestle with anybody. They're amazing wrestlers, you know.
I'm not sure what happened with Bobby Roode. He was there, and he worked a couple shows, and then I guess he's gone.
That was James Storm, because they just got
bad deals. James Storm, not Bobby Roode.
James Storm can wrestle. That's my dog right there.
Happened with him. I'm not sure why it didn't work out or why he moved on. It seems like they brought him in fanfare.
He's a little older, and I'm pretty sure he got the developmental deal. Would you want to take a step back, even though you can, you know, you know, you could probably make more money along with it, but I take a step back.
Yeah.
All right, so look at Kenny Omega and look at the Young Bucks. They could easily make some WWE, but at the same and NXT at the same time, you know, like if you think about it, maybe take a step back because they're making some big money. You know what I'm saying? They're known amongst the hardcore wrestling fans, but you know they still want to take a step back.
Yeah, and plus creatively, they're able to do whatever they want to do now. And they wouldn't have that same creativity if they went to the World Wrestling Federation, obviously.
Not at all.
All right. I think Evan's ready, so I'm going to try to add Evan back to the call. But, it's nuts. We'll have to talk about Apollo Crews. I like him so much. And it's just kind of sad what happens to some of the guys when they get up to the WWE. Like, Sami Zayn's coming up now. And I read yesterday that Samoa Joe's coming up right after WrestleMania.
He can move.
Yeah. I just kind of hope that they don't, you know. There's so many guys on the active roster and so many guys coming back from injury now, you know, that should be coming back soon. You know, Randy Orton, Cena, Rollins, those guys.
You forgot the boy. What's his name?
Cesaro?
Cesaro. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Cesaro.
I didn't even have to guess. I knew exactly who Mo was going to talk about right there.
Yeah, we were talking on NXT, New Japan, all that while you were gone, and we were talking about Apollo Crews, and I told Mo that I've been singing his praises since before his debut, and you're not a big fan, Evan, so you have to answer for that now.
He doesn't have that charisma, I don't think. He has it.
I'm going to stop right there. He has it. He says, what happens? Hold on. He has it, but what happens is that I feel like a lot of times with black wrestlers, they kind of just mess them up. Like Mark Henry has it, but then look at this thing about he's called My Black, Big E Langston. You know what I'm saying? Look at Big E Langston, look at R-Truth, look at Kofi Kingston, look at Xavier Woods, aka Consequence Tree. Look at him, and look how when they finally put them together, perfect. It was gold. But and eventually they were terrible. Think about it. Kofi Kingston had no personality. Kofi Kingston is what UHA Nation is now.
Yes,
that's true.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, like, just a great wrestler, but just no personality there.
And before that, Big E was kind of the same way. He was just a big, big wrestler. He was a power wrestler, and he was wearing those really big shirts, giving AJ Lee flowers. Like, they submarined him.
But it messed up because we came out with AJ Lee, and that he started trying to hear a little to the thing with Rusev, where he's talking like, Randy Watson. Remember that?
Yes.
He's doing the promos like a damn preacher, and I was like, "What is this?" That was terrible. He got beat, and then a few months later, he comes out the New Day. You know what I'm saying? And New Day. At first, I was a fan of them, but now I love New Day. I ain't gonna lie, I love New Day. I actually got a New Day shirt. My boy got it for me.
Our man Dion, he is here now. He's the same way. Before our basketball game last night, he did the little clap like, "Day Rock," you know.
Day Rock. Yeah.
But as I said,
King Mo rocks. King Mo rocks. I'll be saying at the gym, people start laughing. This shit goes hard, man. I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, like you said, man, when they first came out, I'm like, man, this is so stupid. But, like, after, like, 4 weeks or 3 weeks of them doing their thing, once the trombone came out, I was really
over. It was game over.
It was game over.
They, like, did the reverse Irish whip into the rope, and he'd be like, oh, my God.
That was the best ever.
That shit kills me. And, you know,
so is Dion on air? Is he got a headset on?
Yeah, he's got a headset on. He's got his headset that is under his chin, though. He doesn't know. He's still getting used to this radio thing.
That's true. It's only been 23 shows.
What's up, Dan? What's up, Mo? How you guys doing?
So what's going on?
He's on black people time, Dion. He came when he felt like coming. Be here at 3. All right.
I'll come at 3:30.
3:30? Sounds good.
This isn't Barbershop 2, dude.
Oh, man, already.
We have Mo. We're going to be at 3 o'clock. Text me at 3. 10 minutes. Okay.
Well, luckily I came when I did. The computer died on you here.
That's how you guys roll. That's all right. Now, hey, let me ask you, Mo. So you had suddenly, you know, Vince McMahon goes, "Hey, pal, Mo, I want you to run the WWE. I'm going to step down. How would you run it? What would you do? I'm talking like from the show times. Like, would you go back to 2 hours? Would you keep it 3 hours? Do you keep replaying every single thing that happened right before a commercial? What do you do differently if you're them?
First, what I do is I would reach out to Teddy Long and Jim Cornette. You know what I'm saying? Bring them back to the fold. Second, I would have to try to do an allegiance with like New Japan, Ring of Honor, and try to get to their champions. You know, just try to do a type of tournament, like King of the Ring tournament. You know what I'm saying? And third of all, I'll keep it 3 hours, but I'll try to do it, like, you know, I try to bring different wrestlers on board, try to do some type of exchange program. You know what I'm saying? So you can see different styles. Because I think that right now, the problem with the WWE is just seeing too many promos, too many replays, too much talking, not enough action. I miss the days when, you know, you see good wrestling and you see a few promos and you see, you know, more wrestling and good promos. Now it's like promo, commercial promo, match. And the thing is, a lot of these matches, they're like matches. You should say matches, like, you know, every week for a whole month. I don't know how many times this is the Usos versus Dudley Boys. You know what I'm saying? Dudley Boys versus so and so. The Ascension versus so and so. You see so many, you know, rematches. It kind of gets, you know, kind of gets old. You know what I'm saying? You know what to expect.
Yeah, and it's like who was it this week that? Oh, Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose, they wrestled, and I read that it was the 12th time that those two have wrestled each other on live television, like in the last 5 months or 4 months.
Oh, this is the thing about Jericho, AJ Styles versus the Misfits, the Social Misfits. How many times? How many variations have those two tag team matches been had between YTJ and AJ Styles? You know what I'm saying? Versus the social misfits, the social outcast. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see it every week. Every week. You see those two versus one of those four.
Well, I you know, you said something interesting right before your last break in speaking. You said, you know, it's becoming expected. Or whatever, it's expected, or you expect it. And every week on this show, I keep saying that we as fans, we want to be surprised. That's why you tune in to Raw, because someone's music might hit, and you're like, oh, shit, you know?
Shane McMahon. I was like, what the hell? I mean, Shane O'Mac is back? I'm like, because I spoke with Shane McMahon. I heard his music, I was like, I was crunk, man. I was like, hold up. Shane O'Mac, I thought it was a joke at first. I was like, it's got to be a joke. I see him come out with the mugly-ass shoes on with the suit. That was crunk, man.
Then you knew it was Shane. I was hoping he was going to come out and be like, I'm going to run Raw, and I'm bringing back Pete Gass and the Mean Street Posse, and they're going to be the general manager. I mean, just those little nostalgic things that they do are just home runs. You know, when they don't announce Brock Lesnar's coming back and his music hits, you lose your damn mind.
Yeah.
You know, but when they're like, oh, so-and-so is going to come back and address the fans next week. No one gives a shit. No one's going to tune in when you tell them so-and-so will be there. We will tune in if you surprise us every week.
That's what's up, man. That's the truth.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, and I think Dan asked me the question once. He said, died right now, would, you know, into what we all hope it is or what we...
You're breaking up real bad. I didn't even hear any of that question.
I heard you, Norman.
You did?
Yeah, I heard him. He wouldn't break out to me.
That's weird. We had Shayna Baszler on, and she dropped like 5 or 6 times.
How's her wrestling career coming? Because I assume she's done fighting now. She's going to do wrestling.
Yeah, she said she's doing about 50-50 training-wise, but she's really kind of throwing more into pro wrestling right now. And she just wrestled a match Sunday at a event in California called Premier Wrestling. And it was her debut for that company, and she was... Evan knows her name, who she wrestled. I guess it's Josh Barnett's girlfriend.
Colleen Schneider.
Yeah. Welcome back, Evan. She's doing well. She wants to go the indie route. She doesn't want to go, like... She said that she has the connections where she could go to NXT and train in the facility there and, you know, get her call up and all that, but she wants to go the indie route, which is kind of cool. She's old school in that manner.
Would you want to do that, Mo? Would you want to go that route, the kind of eating ramen on the road, you know, that kind of thing? Or would you, you know, if you got the call from the the training center, would you kind of jump on board with that? Because, I mean, in my opinion, I mean, I know you love knocking people out and getting that money, but if your heart, as far as what you want to do, is that you pro wrestling kind of is the way that you'd want to go.
Well, yeah, probably it's just too hard, man. It's hard. Like, fuck. I tell you this, like, the indie route, you get money, you get big money faster. You know what I'm saying? And if you're doing it right, then you can get called up. Because, you know, you can get called up at the right time if you're hot. But at the same time, like, you know, if you go the slow route with NXT, eventually, if you're doing things right, you'll eventually get to the big money. You know what I'm saying? So it depends on how hot you are at the moment and how skilled you are. Because, like, look at AJ Styles. AJ Styles been paid his dues for a long time. And, you know, he was making money over there in Japan. And now he's WWE's making money. So, you know, it took him forever because he's in the indie scene with the Ring of Honor, with Japan, TNA, and doing independent shows here and there. But eventually, you know, he makes it WWE on his own terms.
And look at how over he was when he came.
Oh, yeah, when he came, yeah. Their chant isn't more than anything else. I had as much of that sold out.
So, you know, I mean, you had that contract with TNA. I know they brought Rampage in. They brought Tito in. Tito, I know, has had some experience in the pro wrestling realm. But, I mean, you know, is it something you would act – I know you say it's hard, but is it – I mean, punching people is a lot easier than taking bumps and doing all that crap, I'm assuming, right?
Oh, man, no doubt about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, people, they want to think I'm crazy, but, like, you know, taking bumps is just, fuck that. I can't do that. I can't see myself doing that for a living.
Seriously?
I used to, but
not
anymore. It's hard, man.
No, it's hard in the sense that on your body, or it's hard in the sense that, like, everybody around you seems to be so good at it? Like, what is it that makes you be like, fuck, man, I guess I got to be a special guest referee for the rest of my life?
No, it's just hard in your body, man. Like, it's hard in your body. I'd say it's like just the training. Al Snow put me through a workout one time. It's 5 hours long. Literally 5 hours long. I hit the rope so much that it cut my skin.
Jeez.
You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, I don't know. Like my skin, I was bleeding through my shirt.
And that, well, I'm assuming, I don't know, I haven't been with any wrestlers up close, touching their sides, but do you start getting calloused from that kind of thing, like from hitting the ropes all the time?
Eventually you do, but it takes a while.
Man, that was that just a dream crusher right there, though, for you? Because I know that you were like, fuck it, I'll leave this, I'll go to WWE, I don't care. And then you did the workouts, and you're like, were you kind of like, shit?
Well, at first I was like, you know, I liked it, but then I just realized, like, you know, I can't see myself doing 5 hour workouts, you know what I'm saying, on a daily basis, you know what I'm saying, with Al Snow. I couldn't, that was ridiculous, you know what I'm saying?
Al Snow ruined pro wrestling for you. Good job, Al.
Well, no, it's just like the wrestling psychology is hard. You know, you have to realize what makes sense and why things make sense and why you do certain things. And it's just not about wrestling matches, because the matches have to make sense. You know, the promos got to make sense. It all has to make sense, and some people don't get that.
Well, here's the thing that I don't understand. Like, say, you just said, I mean, Mo, you are, like, the top 1% of athletes in the world, you know? Like, the shit you can do is what no one else can do, okay? So that being said, you go through this whatever workout with Al Snow, and you're like, oh, yeah, this thing is killing me, right? And you're like, it's really hard. But then we watch the WWE push people like Eva Marie, who's just absolutely atrocious. Like, how is she getting through this stuff? Or is she just avoiding it just because she's pretty?
Well, I think you see, there's periods where you don't see her for a while, but she has to go back to wrestling school. Some people, you see some people, they're forever in wrestling school. They never leave wrestling school. They're always in wrestling school. You know, they'll be there wrestling for like 3 or 4 years, 5 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, they spend the whole time in wrestling school because they've got to learn.
Yeah, man, I don't like it. I don't like it, man. That my whole hope here was that Dion would become a referee, but he's like too chicken to do it. Because I think they got to put you through the same stuff as the wrestlers, right, to be a referee?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. A lot of times, yeah, referees out there. Because a lot of referees, a lot of times you see referees, those guys, they wanted to wrestle, but they just weren't, just like, they couldn't handle the physicality of it, and they just become referees. But they're like, you know, no one goes to wrestling school but like saying, hey, I want to be a referee. A lot of times go to wrestling school saying, hey, I'm going to wrestle.
And then they're like, fuck that, I'm going to be a referee. Right? Poor, like, I mean, look at what that one dude that looks like Chappelle, that's the referee right now. Come on, man, get out of the corner, man. Come on, one, two, three, come on. Get over there. Like that guy, like there's no way he wanted to be a wrestler. Like that guy was born to be a referee.
You know what sucks now is that you don't know any of the referees' names. Like back in the day, you knew all the referees' names.
Oh, it's Earl Hebner.
Yeah.
How's Earl going to screw him over?
Yeah, like, man, the referees had so much more character back then.
How bad is Teddy Long going to take that bump? Real, more than likely, really bad. Now there's Mike Chioda and everybody else.
Yeah.
Mo, last thing I want to ask you real quick, because I'm friends with Blake Bowman. Blake's always telling me.
Yeah.
He's bragging to me about his multiple titles over there, the ATT Wrestling League that you guys got going down there.
ATTWF, yeah.
ATTWF, and I know you are like one of the guys that nobody wants to face because you're basically the Randy Orton of the ATTWF, like the main heel, the scary guy. Like how is all that going, man? Because I saw the first time that Micah Miller and Blake tag teamed together and they were wearing masks and it was like Halloween 4 years ago. And it's come a long way since then. So where exactly is it at right now?
We're doing big things, man. I don't know who Micah Miller is, I don't know who Sidney Jones punk ass is. He had to vacate the belt. He's a former champion, you know what I'm saying? He had to vacate the belt because I came in town, you know what I'm saying? But right now, we're going to do some more shows this year, bringing in some bigger names. Yeah, you guys need to come down and check it out when we do the next show.
How am I going to get to Florida?
On an airplane there, buddy.
Okay, well.
Well, we can start streaming or something.
Yeah, you should start streaming it, because if it wasn't for me saying this right now, no radio show host in the planet would know what the hell I was even talking about. But, you know, I'm a bona fide G, a bona fide thug. And
you're none of those things.
I know this. Shit, you're none of those things. So, but, man, like, people got to know that this is happening. Because look, if I didn't ask you this question, people would be like, oh, damn, so Mo's just not wrestling now. But, no, Mo is wrestling. And people should see it, don't you? I mean, how could you guys not? 2016, you got the technology.
Well, the thing is, we didn't know it was going to be that. We didn't know it was going to take off like that because we brought in Wes Briscoe last time. We brought in Stevie Richards. We're going to bring in, I think, I was trying to bring in X-Pac, but he couldn't make it. But I'm thinking we're going to try bringing it back this time. We're trying to get him here, get him in this time, maybe Conan. Bringing some more heels, you know what I'm saying? But we're looking. We're trust me, the next show's gonna be big.
All right, man. Well, you gotta let people know about it. Like people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited about it. I want to see it, dude. You know how much I want to see my boy going off the top rope, and talking shit. And, like that to me, you made it. If people are paying to watch you wrestle, you made it.
Oh, the next show when the next show when we book the next show. I'll definitely let you know what's up.
Yes, let us know. So, all right, man. Well, I tell you, you got to get going. I know you got a busy schedule. Usually we want you to plug whatever you want to plug, man, like your Facebook, Twitter, ATTWF, anything, man. Go ahead.
All right, man. This is a plug, man. Josh, keep all the y'all staying, man. And the next show, I'm definitely going to keep y'all posted straight up.
Yes. Straight up. Now, hey, you're allowed to come on here whenever you want. You know that, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. I know how to get down because, you know, the other show was cool, but, man, it was, like, too much MMA-orientated, man. And, you know, MMA is cool, but, you know, like, you know, it's all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah.
We don't talk a lot of MMA with our guests on this show.
And they start talking for hours because we don't talk about MMA. And people are like, well, why do you have MMA fighters on? Because people like the fighters, but they want to hear other things. They want to hear what they're interested in. They want to hear their take on things. No one gives a shit about what weight you're cutting or who you're fighting next or any of that. You're going to fight Phil Davis. We know that. And that's pretty much the end of it.
And I'm trying to get Evan to go to that fight with me, and he's dragging his feet, Mo, so you might want to yell at him.
Oh, yeah, guess what? I got a big old surprise. A big surprise for my next entrance. A big surprise for next entrance. Straight up.
Shit, man. You heard it here first on the Crimson Canvas podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm talking about it's big. It's big. You know what I'm saying? I would tell y'all, I want to tell y'all, people know, but I would y'all find out, you know what I'm saying, just by waiting.
Man, sure. You're killing us. You're killing us.
I like it, though, because that's another reason to help me convince Evan to go down there with me.
First off,
it's going to be – let me tell you something. I feel like this. I talked to both these guys, and they should be definitely down to help me out with this entrance. That's all I got to say.
Holy shit.
Oh, man. You know what? We're going to leave you with that mystery, folks.
Hey, quick clue, Hall of Famers. That's all I got to say. Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers.
What? I'm psyched. I want to know. Yeah. But I'm going to be there, and I'm hoping that I can drag Dion and Evan up there too. So.
And y'all come. I'll let y'all meet them, you know what I'm saying? Y'all going to like it, I'm telling you.
I know how you do. I know you'll help us out. I know you hook us up. But damn, flying to San Jose from San Diego, I don't know, man. You're killing me now with this whole entrance thing.
See, this is what I'm dealing with.
I'm gonna give you a good hint. They went viral. When something happened, they went viral.
Huh?
Are we talking about wrestlers?
Yeah, maybe.
Not going to give it all away.
Well, damn, you said Hall of Famers. It could be like George Brett from the Kansas City Royals.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not George Brett.
Shut up, Dan.
I don't know, flying from San Diego to San Jose on a nonstop flight, it's a real hassle.
I admit. Mo, you know I got your back, man. All right, man. Well, hey, we appreciate you coming on. And like I said, anytime you want to come on, you got anything to talk about besides MMA, you know we're down.
All right, that's what's up, bro.
All right, so that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Mo, for coming on, and we'll see you guys next week.